Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. This is a Monday afternoon, but we do have to keep you up to date on the weather as we need to, because there are still some tornado watches and warnings. Plenty of tornado watches around the city of Saskatoon, Aberdeen, all through really the western area of the province, just north of Leader, up towards Unity, North Battleford, Lloydminster, and then all the way over through Saskatoon. Those are tornado watches. That is where the conditions are favorable. But there is one tornado warning still active. That is Mountain View RM, Herschel and Stranraer, where they're tracking a thunderstorm there, possibly producing a tornado. So that is an update. RM Moose Mountain, or Mountain View, sorry, that area, so we'll keep you up to date throughout the afternoon on any more warnings when it comes to tornado warnings in Saskatchewan right now. So that area under that warning watch is east of Kindersley, just north of Herschel is what it looks like that system is. And of course, you can pass any information along at 1-877-332-8255.
Oh, you can send pictures too.
Pictures, videos, you can send those in to the text line.
They're very helpful.
Well. But Locker, each and every, I guess, post-game after the Riders, we do our grades.
I'm ready. Jamie?
But it was Friday, so we had to wait a little while to get our grades here on the Green Zone, but here we are, ready to go. Last week of school. But we're going to give you our grades from Friday's 39-32 win for the Riders over the Argonauts.
Jamie and I?
Mm-hmm.
What is your top grade? Or we'll start with your failing grade.
My failing grade? It's about time we figure this out.
We had a field goal earlier. That was from 16 yards. No rush to speak of, and throws wide. They'll throw a single on the board, and it's still a one-possession football game.
Brett Lawther misses another crucial kick. Could have put it away and go up by 10 points. No, it's 8 points. That allowed the Argos to come down. Touchdown, two-point convert. They did tie the game. You need to figure this out quick. I want to see changes tomorrow. I want to see something going on tomorrow at practice that says, okay, we admit there's a problem. We're fixing it. Because that's 2 weeks in a row. Now you got BC coming, and Edmonton, and another game against BC, and Montreal. These games aren't going to get easier. You can't have missed field goals. And I'm sorry. I believe this is, I know Brett doesn't want me to say this because he wants to take all the blame, but I think this is a holder issue. That look, did you see the look? They zone, Couch looks up to Brett Lawther almost like, are you mad at me? And Brett Lawther gives him the, I need to see something. I don't think it's kicker. I really don't. It's definitely not the snap. Jorgan Hughes is the best in the business. We saw it at practice last week. The other punter was doing a lot of work with Jorgan Hughes on the getting the ball down quick on that mark for Brett Lawther. So we'll see if there's a new punter holding the ball for Brett Lawther. But that's my failing grade. Enough's enough with the kicking issue for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Does it come down to it costing a game?
It almost has twice.
Well, I'm just
almost
saying
twice.
It hasn't, though.
Yeah, because so, Mario Alford bailed him out. And thank goodness the Hamilton Tiger Cats aren't that good. Or they might be 1-2 instead of 3-0. There's an issue. They got to fix it. That's my failing grade, is another crucial missed field goal by the Rough Riders. Locker, what's your failing grade?
My failing grade, Jamie and I, goes to the Rough Riders' rough starts.
On this first drive of the ball game, quick throw, touchdown Argos! It's DeJean Brissett, the Mississauga native, opens the scoring for an Argos offense that's been struggling to get on the board early this year.
First major on Friday night goes to the Argos. They responded well. They put up 14 in the first quarter, the Riders. The first two games, however, of the season, The first game at home against the Red Blacks in week one, no points in the first quarter. Ticats week two, no points in the first quarter. So I think it's something is going on with this team. They got to get their starts going, get things going a little bit better. That's just a quick observation. We're 3-0. Some might suggest we're lucky to be 3-0 with the team that we have and the injuries and everything like that. My failing grade goes to the Riders' starts. I already knew you were going to pick on the kicking game. Can we also comment on Luke's hair?
No!
What? What's
wrong with his hair? He's got sick flow.
We've had 60 texts about Luke Wilson's tweet. 30 of them are about his hair. So I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Jealousy's an issue. Jealousy's an issue.
If I had a mop like that, oh my goodness, I'd look like Don Johnson. Not whatever Luke's going
for. No, your hair would look like Don Johnson. You would look nothing like him still.
I'm going back to that old feathered 80s look I had.
Okay, let's get to our top grades.
Little hair gel.
My top grade. I hope he's okay with the nickname that I've given him. I should run it by him to see if he's okay. I'm calling him the tugboat, Tommy Stevens.
Tommy Stevens, the short yardage quarterback, is celebrating a big first down run. Stevens goes left this time. Tries to get to the outside, off tackle, leans forward. Touchdown, Saskatchewan.
I freaking love this guy, Tommy Tugboat Stevens.
I love how excited he gets when he goes for a rumble, too.
He fires me up.
Yeah.
He's pushing the DB around like he's nothing. Get out my way.
How big is he?
Like 235 pounds.
6 foot five? 6 foot four?
Yeah, 6'4". 6'3", I think.
He's a big boy.
Big Tommy Tugboat Stevens. My new favorite third string quarterback in the Canadian Football League.
See, that was... What? I like that. Back to the Wilson. Not that we need to dwell on it, even though we
talked about the short bunch of QB
sneaks.
What
was wrong with that? I don't get it. I don't understand.
It's just how that game worked out. There's a lot of third and second and ones. I want to see Luke Wilson's. I want to go through his tweets. Has he complimented the Eagles on the tush push? I imagine he has. It happens. But Tommy Tugboat Stevens, the short yardage quarterback everybody knew we needed, he's here now, and we love him. Get your 17 jerseys at the Rider store. My top grade goes to Tommy Tugboat Stevens. Locker, who or what gets your top grade?
Number two, Mario Alford.
Ball on the tee, 23 seconds remaining, 32 all. Alford. Crosses the 20, to the 30, to the 40. He's got something to the 50.
Come on.
Races. No one's going to touch him. No flags down.
Yes.
Lock it off.
Okay, listen, I'm aware that that is low-hanging fruit, but I took it. I came in this morning, and I'm like, I get number two for my top grade. What? I had to take
it. Your tenant is going to leave. You almost broke the desk when we played the replay of the kick return. I can only imagine while you're gnawing on that steak because you finally finished off your barbecue. I thought you were going to give yourself the top grade, by the way, for finishing off the barbecue 2 months later. But
okay, I had to hire someone in to hook up the gas properly. But Kirk, he did text earlier. Kirk, it is working, and my steak on Friday night when we were watching the game was unbelievable. Okay, so the punt return winner on Friday night is my top grade, and in particular, number two, Mario Alford in Toronto. Great way to finish off the game. It was a tense one. That's the CFL. It's early, but Alford is on fire right now. And I remember when we started going to the practices, I'll hang out with Jamie at the practices once a week, and I was pointing him out going, I don't know, is he like... Alford, like, is this number two, this kid, he's good, right? And so he's been standing out for me, so I'm impressed. I took a look back. He's Mr. Reliable. He's in, you know, every game, every year. He's been here for 3.5 years. He's dynamic. I think this is going to be a big year. I don't think this is going to stop. I think we're going to continue to see this. So my top grade going to Mary Alford today.
There you have it, our top grades and our failing grades. Now we want yours from the Riders' 39-32 win over the Argos on Friday night. Who gets your top grade? Who gets your failing grade? Let us know now. 1-877-332-8255. That is the fan line to give us a call on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie and Locker on this Monday afternoon on the Green Zone. There's a new tornado warning that just popped up over the last couple of minutes. Environment Canada issuing a tornado warning for the RM of Hisdale, including Neilburg and Baldwinton. That system up around the Kindersley area that continues to move to the east. So we'll continue to bring you up to date on the severe weather. There's tornado watches for a big swath of Saskatchewan around those parts, a bigger in Saskatoon and Battleford. Those are watches, but there is a tornado warning right now still up around that Kindersley area that just got issued from Environment Canada, RM of Hillsdale, Neilburg, and Baldwinton. But Locker, we're asking people to give them their top grades, their failing grades. It looks like Brian in Prince Albert has a question on Trevor Harris. Is no one concerned with the play of Harris? He's been average at best, missing easy throws, timing's off. I know he can be better. They're lucky being 3-0. I don't know. I thought he had. He didn't
he had
throw
some
a lot.
Good he moments.
He was
on
11
Friday.
Of 18. He didn't toss a lot. He also admitted after the game he was under the weather that on okay. game day. So I don't know if that had any impact on the play calling or his play. But he's also dealing with two receivers out of the lineup that he's very familiar with in Kean Schaefer Baker and Sam Emelis. So that receiving core is a bit new to Trevor on some of the things and a little less experience. So they're not precise yet.
The one thing that I have noticed is if he's got the ball in the red zone, and they run a route where they come back to the ball,
mm-hmm.
and it's a short pass, that he fires it in front of, too far in front of his receiver sometimes. Have you noticed that?
I have not.
I've noticed it like three times now where he underthrows it, but it's always when he's in the red zone.
Well, there's
and he's kind of missing, like, I don't know what it is. He seems to have that good mid-range and that long range accuracy, but then
he's almost like he's throwing it to a spot that only the receiver is going to get. He's trying to protect it a little bit by
maybe
not getting a little bit too much air under it.
Where they're
maybe
having
a
jump at
in.
It, you
but,
know.
Trevor Harris, a lot of the QB play has been pretty average, to be quite honest, all season long. And this is what I talked about earlier on Luke Wilson's assessment of the league. There's not enough time and preparation going to the week to week, and the coaching cap and all that stuff is impacting the quality of play. And I completely agree with him. I agree that more time in the room, more time with coaches, more time in the film room outside of the 4.5 hours a day would increase the quality, and more off-season workouts before training camp would be good. But they put in the CFL management cap, and it's completely impacted the start of the season.
The preparation thing is that's not going to go away. That's a conversation in the NFL as well. Right, but that doesn't mean that the game isn't going to be watched by the younger generation. And that's the issue I have with what he put out there this weekend.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill. The latest in sports, a trade in the National Hockey League. Trevor Zegras is going to the Philadelphia Flyers. Ryan Poling and two draft picks going the other way in the deal. Two 23-goal seasons early in Trevor Zegras' career, but injuries and lack of production meant he was on the chopping block for the Anaheim Ducks, so they swung a deal with Philadelphia. The Calgary Flames bringing back Justin Kirkland. He signs a 1-year deal. He was the rising star. I think he was Locker's favorite Flame of all time, the way he started the season. And that's saying something, because Locker's an Oilers fan.
And I dislike the Flames a great deal.
But you
I like him as a player. I really do.
And the New York Yankees take it on too. Cincinnati. They're 2.5 games up on Tampa, 4 games up on Toronto. Both those teams have the night off. Coming up next here on the Green Zone. Have you had enough of the Florida Panthers?
To absolutely no one. We're the double champs. We do what the we want.
Are they gone too far in their celebration?
Keep talking.
Or are they the perfect heel for the National Hockey League? We debate next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you. As we continue on this Monday afternoon, a little bit of a stormy afternoon around some portions of the province, as we still do have weather warnings that are in effect for portions of Saskatchewan. And these are tornado warnings up around the RM of Hisdale. Also now a severe thunderstorm warning. That is for the RM of Marriott, south of Bigger Saskatchewan. And some more severe thunderstorm warnings in that area. But the one tornado warning that it came in effect a couple of minutes ago, the RM of Hisdale, Neilburg, Baldwinton are where that tornado warning currently stands. Of course, you can text us 1-877-332-8255 with your pictures or your video if it's safe to do so, to take one for us and pass that along so we can inform what you're seeing around the province. But as we continue, we're going to go to Philadelphia in a little bit. Talk about the Philadelphia Flyers trade of Trevor Zegras. Also, we're going to go to Blue Jays reporter Shai Davidi. A quick update on Toronto in the 5 o'clock hour. And Belton Johnson will be here on whether he thought that game was hot garbage Friday.
I want his thoughts. Specifically on what Luke said.
Luke Wilson of TSN.
If you haven't read it, we attempted to read the whole four-page tweet on the show earlier, and
they should have really kept the 280-character limit. Because
well, he's paying for the blue check mark, so he can write as much as he wants. Go read it, and
you can
send
find
us
it
your
at,
thoughts.
You can find it at Greenzone SK. We retweeted it, and we're getting a lot of comments.
Comments about his hair.
And some good, some bad. Some agree with him, some don't. It's an interesting conversation that he has started yet again.
And I don't want to sidetrack this because I know you want to get into the whole Sam Bennett
thing. You were trying to delay this so you don't have to talk about the Florida Panthers, but go ahead.
I am very excited to talk about the Florida Panthers. I have no problem having that discussion. We had a conversation in the Green Zone Lounge about the Luke Wilson tweet this morning. Okay.
Yeah.
And you said, I think, what is the most poignant thing you can say about Luke's statements? You said the problem with the CFL isn't the game and isn't the game on Friday and isn't the too many penalties. It's this conversation. And it took me a minute. I was like, but you're right.
It's the perception. The CFL has a perception problem, and the perception is the CFL is bad because all we talk about is how to fix the CFL. That's every conversation. We've been having it for a decade. How to fix it? Should we go to four down? Should we get rid of the roof? Should we do this? Should we do that? What should we do? How about this? Should we get a 10th team? What's wrong? How to fix it? Well, if you're a young person seeing, listening, and watching this dialogue all over the place, you're like, wow, this game must really suck.
And that's the problem I have with it.
Nobody has that conversation in the NFL. How do we fix the National Football League?
Luke has a problem with the CFL, and he made it quite obvious with his tweet on the weekend. And he tried to take one game and a couple of examples from that game to make a point about his issues with the game. And that's what I had a problem with his tweet. Not that there wasn't a good point or two in his tweet. It's just like, man, too far. Let's chunk it up. Let's split it up. What's your problem with the rouge? Okay, let's have a conversation about the rouge.
Well, someone did call him out, and it was right when I read it. I'm like, well, that's a lot of problems you have, but you have no solutions. What are your solutions? And someone did say it, and I retweeted. Here's a response to that, saying it was a prep. This is a preparation thing. How detailed the CFL. He was really up in arms about not only having 11 guys on the kickoff. Like, come on. Not enough players in a crucial down. Too many penalties. That is a preparation thing. of not having your head going offside, all
those
things.
But that doesn't mean kids aren't going to watch the game. Right? Like, that's... Anyway.
And the attendance was an average of 15,000 people across the four games this past weekend.
You got to put that in perspective, though. The weather in Alberta was awful. It snowed in parts of Alberta this weekend, okay? So, and it was 40 degrees in Toronto on Friday night.
It was a heat wave, yeah.
Right, so that's going to have an impact on the attendance. I don't know about you.
Now, this weekend, there's a game in Winnipeg. They have 30,000 tickets sold. There's a game in Regina. They have 27,000 tickets sold.
Then that average 15,000 will probably go up to 20 for the four games, right?
So there's a game in Hamilton. That'll have probably 20,000. There's going to be a huge wave the other way on the attendance this weekend.
Yeah, anyway. We can move on.
We'll have that CFL conversation with Belton Johnson.
And here's the other thing, too. Can we say this before we...
So we can't move on yet.
No, you can't move on. Just hang on. Hang on. Scotty, the producer, has sent 600 emails to TSN to try to get Luke. I'm exaggerating, but we have been trying to get him on now 4 months. And listen, we're not upset about it. There'll be a day when he says, okay. We're hearing it.
Well, you guys are ripping him. Have him on the show. We want him on the show.
We've tried.
And I'm not really ripping him, but...
No. But, I mean, you would want him to defend himself, and we would be able to have this conversation with him. I would have no problem going, hey, and also, what are you thinking with your mullet? Like, we could get into the hair, too, right? Because that comes up in every second tweet or
text.
You're
obsessed with people. Why are you so obsessed with people's hair?
I have no hair. Look at my
hair. Remember Joe Burrow during the... Didn't you fail Joe Burrow once a week because of the... Frosted tips. Now you're on the mullet thing. What do you want? People all have military cuts? Is that what you're looking for?
No. Just don't do frosted tips.
Or mullets. Or a mullet.
Or a man bun.
Weird
or a man bun.
What's wrong with a man bun?
I don't know.
I'm going to grow my hair out. I'm going to get a mullet and a man bun.
And frosted tips.
And frosted tips.
Anyway, if
Connor McDavid doesn't sign with the Edmonton Oilers, that's the one. I'll do it.
Frosted tips?
Frosted tips, mullet, man, I'll do it. If he doesn't sign with you, that's the one.
You can't have a mullet and a man bun.
Well, you can every day if you try to get the hair up there. I just got a haircut, by the way, because it was getting a little long. I haven't had long hair in a long time. You've seen me... My photos when I had almost down to my shoulders.
I didn't mind that look, and I didn't mind the beard on you either.
With the beard and everything. That was an era. That was a certain era.
You're getting Jamie and I. Frosted tipped mullet. I'll put it on the board. Are we putting it on the board?
Yeah. I'll even grow a mustache. I'll do it all. Maybe a handlebar. That'll be a good look.
If McDavid does not re-sign with Edmonton before next year, mullet.
And for 97 days, once it's a complete look, I'll leave it for 97 days until I get rid of it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm glad we figured this out. Now can we move on?
Yes. Play the clip.
The Florida Panthers, ladies and gentlemen,
are still drunk.
Are still intoxicated. They're still celebrating their Stanley Cup victory over Lockers Edmonton Oilers. But since they won, they have done celebrations to a new degree in terms of trolling. There was Brad Marchand's Instagram tagging all the teams and thanking them for the players that they sent to the Florida Panthers or did not re-sign that the Florida Panthers got from the Flames and the Bruins, and on it went. Every single player he went around and took a picture and added their old team. Thanks. Somebody else did it for him as well.
The one that made me laugh was thanking the Winnipeg Jets for letting Paul Maurice go.
Paul Maurice. Picture of Paul. Thanks, Winnipeg Jets. There was the Pink Pony Club. They're at the clubs. They're playing Pink Pony Club, which was the Oilers' victory song.
That was Kachuk.
You had Brad Marchand with the loser logo. So it was the Edmonton Oilers logo, but instead of Oilers, it said Losers, that Brad Marchand had a sticker. He was wearing that around for a little bit.
At the Elbow Room, they had Oilers Oilers suck chant going.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of celebrating, they've been trolling.
Kachuk has been doing the Connor McDavid who thing quite a bit.
And then yesterday, Sam Bennett grabbed the mic at the parade.
They call us dirty. They call us nasty. They call us bullies. So, no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely no one. We're the double champs. We do what the we want. Let's go!
The question to you is this. Love it or leave it. Is this a celebration you can get behind that the Florida Panthers have completely, and to steal a phrase from WWE wrestling world, they have gone full heel. They've accepted they are the heel. They are the bad guy. They are the bad boys of the NHL, and clearly they don't give a bleep. Or are they classless? Is this a poor way to celebrate a championship, is to continue to mock the teams you beat on the way rather than just saying we won and leave everybody else alone? Let's celebrate our accomplishment rather than pick at the scabs of the teams you beat on your way to the cup. 1-877-332-8255. Do you like it or do you hate it from the Panthers?
There is a way to win, and there's a way to lose. And I disagree with it.
With what the Panthers are doing.
Yeah. I'm not going to tweet about it or do a 7-minute rant on the Green Zone about it because they're making their own choices. But I just think it's classless. And I understand the whole heel thing, but I don't know. You got to have respect. It's a lack of respect for.
That's how it's starting to feel. Like at the start, I'm like, they're having fun. Now it's starting to cross the line of, man, they're not being very respectful of their opponents.
And I think it's gonna hurt them in the long run.
1-877-332-8255. Do you love how the Panthers are doing this? They are the heel of the National Hockey League. Or do you think they're starting to cross the line of disrespect? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Partying hard is the theme for the Florida Panthers as it was parade day yesterday. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Are they going too hard with the trolling or... It's their party, and they can do whatever they want. Brent in North Battleford. Brent, what are you thinking about the Panthers' celebrations?
You know, Jamie, I don't agree with the trolling. From what I heard, even on your show, it's kind of pathetic. But there's two sides to the story. There always is. With the series the way it was, when the Oilers won Game 4, I've heard that the Oilers are planning a party in Miami on Game 6 after the game. And it was Takato's restaurant, a sushi bar, that they were going to celebrate the championship victory. So there's two sides to the story. I don't agree with Bennett said, Sam Bennett. That was quite ignorant. Most people probably would not say what he said or what others have said. But in all fairness, there's always two sides to a story. And it goes on the Oilers, too. It does.
Well, it's interesting, Brent, that you said it. Behind the scenes, stuff like that happens all the time. All the time. Because NHL teams have to be prepared for everything. If we win the cup at Game 6, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And they will book. Did you see what happened with Oklahoma City Thunder last night? The Pacers brought it up. They were painting the championship float buses already. There was a video of they were painted blue, champions, in a bay in Oklahoma City's transit department. They were painting them. The Pacers got a hold of it. Because they know the parade's going to happen on Tuesday, tomorrow, they need the buses to be painted. So there, stuff like that does happen.
I don't know
what
planning a party at a sushi bar, if that is the same as what Bennett's doing.
It's the whole
Kachuk.
Okay, they had it booked. Oh, you know, shove it to their side too a little bit. Might have ticked them off. Greg, what are you thinking about how the Panthers are handling their sellies?
They might be getting a little carried away, but you know what? They won the championship twice. So, I mean, they're a force to be reckoned with. And all they're doing is providing enough fuel. Next year, the teams are just going to come at them harder. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, that's your thing. It's like, whoo, boy.
Yeah, keep talking.
Karma is,
and I believe strongly in karma, and I think it's actually gonna come back at them, right? I don't think winning it twice or three times or four times increases the amount you can be a D-bag, though.
Well, it's gonna be. I'm glad they learned one lesson. I'm glad they learned one lesson, or at least Phil Pritchard wouldn't let them do it again. They didn't take the cup in the Atlantic Ocean this time. Matthew Tkachuk had a smaller, I think my son bought it at the Hockey Hall of Fame version of the Stanley Cup that he carried in rather than the real thing like he did last year and almost lost it into the ocean. I imagine Phil was like, no, you're not doing that again. Although if there's one guy to lose it in the ocean, it'd be Matthew Tkachuk. Trevor Zegras is now a member of the Philadelphia Flyers. We have a guest coming up from Philadelphia, Siobhan Nolan, to talk more about the deal that has Trevor Zegras now under Rick Tocchet's watch with Philadelphia. Also, the Blue Jays have the night off, so they'll be watching, hoping Cincinnati gives them some help with the New York Yankees. Four games up on the Jays in the AL East. Shai Davidi's going to join us a little later on as well to talk about the Jays right here on Home of the Fans, the Green Zone, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.